2 months ago, I started to share with you on prayer by looking into Jesus' prayer life and his relationship with God, his Father. And this morning, I would like to continue with the same theme, teach us to pray. Let us look at the same passage we looked at last time, which is Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. Let us read together. The version I'm going to use is a ESV. How about we read it together? Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Let us pray. Dear Father, this morning we come to you in your presence by faith. That we come to you to read your words and try to know, understand your words and your heart and your heart desire. Lord, we pray that as we gathering together before you, we pray that you help us to know your heart towards us. We commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture we have read showing to us that Jesus' intimate fellowship with his heavenly Father through his prayer is so attractive, so that one disciple, his heart is stirred up and wanted to learn praying. We know that Jesus is God. He emptied himself and became a man. He gave up his power, his almightiness, his riches, his glory, his everything, except for his deity, which is his very identity. In the 33 years and half year of Jesus' walk on earth, his life showed the kind of life God desires of us human to live abundantly. He demonstrated what is the perfect and glorious humanity God desires. Last time we looked at Jesus is a man of prayer. He often prayed because he needed to receive strength and renewal in order to fulfill his responsibilities in obeying God, in serving man. Through prayer, he enjoyed his intimate relationship with his Father. Through prayer, his disciples were attracted to learn prayer. Jesus also desires us to be attracted to prayer, to enjoy the Heavenly Father as he enjoys. This is what we shared last time from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Today, I would like to continue with Luke, the same chapter, but on the first half of the second verse, which says, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. With this, I'm going to continue with the theme, teach us to pray. The focus of today is one word, Father. The topic I would like to give for today's message is my real Father. My real Father. Let us first look at who is your real Father. Imagine there are only two fathers in the whole world. One is a bad father, and another one is a good father. Which father you want to have, or whom you want to be a child of? I understand your hand is heavy, but I would like to ask you a question and for you to show up, raise up your hand. Who wants the bad father and want to be his child? Raise up your hand. I saw Jessica smiling. Even I can't see her face with a mask on. Who want a good father and want to be his child? Raise up your hands. Yeah, plenty of you raise up your hands. Some don't raise up their hands. Maybe you think it is a dumb question with such an obvious answer so that you don't bother to answer. Or you don't raise up your hands because you choose to be an orphan. No, imagine you can't be an orphan. Everyone has to choose one father among the two available. One bad, one good. Whom do you want to be your father? Now let us come back to the real world. No imagination anymore. We will soon see this question is actually not as dumb as you think. This is a serious question and a very meaningful, important question. Jesus tells us that in the Bible, in the whole world, and all the time, ultimately, there are only two fathers. One is the Heavenly Father, Jesus mentioned in verse 2 here. Another one is the Father, Jesus refers to in John chapter 8. Let us look at John chapter 8, verse 41 to 44. John chapter 8, verse 41 to 44. We start from the middle of verse 41. They said to him, "Here they are the Jews, and him is Jesus. We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." In verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The Jews in 41 said to Jesus that God is their father. In verse 42, Jesus said, "God is not their father. If God was their father, they would love Jesus." If anyone has God to be their fathers, they would love Jesus. In verse 44, Jesus continues. He said, "The devil is their father. Instead, they belong to the devil, but not the Heavenly Father." This father, their father, is a murderer. Not only a murderer, but the original murderer from the very beginning. All murders are originated from him, including the first murder by Cain. All murderers are related to this devil father. The devil is not only the murderer, he also is a liar. Not only a liar, but the original liar. He lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's the father of lies. He's the father of all liars. From these few verses, we know that for the whole mankind, there are only two ultimate fathers, two origins. One father is God, Heavenly God, in verse 41 and 42. Another one is the devil, in verse 44. So previously I said, imagine there are only two fathers for you to choose. Actually, this is not an imagination. This is reality. The previous question is not an imagination. This is the reality, not only for now. This is the reality also for your ultimate future. Your answer to these questions impacts you today and from today to eternity. The Jews thought that God is their father. But Jesus said that actually the devil is their father. They regard themselves to be children of God. In reality, they are children of the devil. This is a very terrible misunderstanding. You know, one day, quite a lot of people, they will tell Jesus, Jesus, I preach the gospel in your name, I cast out demons in your name, I perform miracles in your name. And Jesus say, wicked man, go away, I never knew you. The Jews have a very terrible misunderstanding. This is a terrible tragedy they had, that they regard themselves to be the children of God and expecting themselves to go into heaven, the kingdom of God, in the future. But, in fact, they are heading towards the hell. Jesus said the reason the devil is their father because they are doing the will of their father devil. They are murderers, like the devil. They are liars, like the devil. How about you? Who is your father? The devil or God? Are you a liar? Who never lies? Raise up your hands. If any one of you raise up your hand, saying that you never lie, you raised hands show that you are a liar. Lies are everywhere. Not to say the misinformation over the place in the world, all kinds of social platform and internet. In US, in Australia, in China, countless of misinformation have been created and transmitted through different kinds of social media and on different kinds of social issues. Like information on where COVID-19 originally started, or vaccination controversies on conspiracy theory, or the con woman Melissa Chadwick lied to numerous trusting investors to gain more than 30 million for her own extravagant lifestyle. Or Vladimir Putin lies that Ukraine isn't a real nation, and the inhabitants of Kyiv, Kharkiv, and Lviv in Ukraine yearn for Moscow's rule. The war he initiated was a peacekeeping mission in the country. Not only in society or nation aspect, on personal level, lies are everywhere. Not only wicked lies as above, but also so-called less severe or unharmed white lies of selfish reasons, everywhere. For example, when Tom doesn't want to go into work because his mood is not well, Tom tells his boss that he's feeling not too well and would like to take a sick leave day off. When Mary is late for his friend, gathering for nearly half an hour due to her own bad time management, she excuses herself for an expected traffic jam. Or when your wife points out that your fault or your sin, you deny straight away, or find excuses, or blame someone else. Or we are seeing one thing and doing another. Like telling your children we should be nice to one another, but you're always fighting with your own wives. We are pretending to be something good that we are not, being hypocritic. Or exaggeration or boasting in order to impress people. This can also be a form of lies. Lies are common and everywhere. We hear them. Are you one of the liars? Murder. Are you a murderer? If you think yourself is a murderer, please raise up your hand. No one dares to raise up their hands. You may think, I am not a murderer. Vladimir Putin is a murderer, not I. Yes, Putin is a murderer. He wants to rob land and power from another country and her people. He attacks others. He causes fathers and husbands to leave their families, their loved ones, to fight in an army, to be wounded, or even to be murdered, to be killed. He causes Russian soldiers to die for an evil cause. Putin is an evil man. He's a murderer. But I am not. Yes, Putin is an evil man and deserved righteous punishment. But don't think you and I are better than him. By nature, we are all evil men and women. We are all from the same Adam, the fallen Adam with his old sinful self, sinful life. The reasons you and I might be apparently not as bad as that most wicked person in the world, because we didn't have the opportunity to develop and eventually bear the evil fruits which Putin did, from the same wicked sinful life as Putin has. The English historian John Acton of 18th century, 19th century said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. In some sense, it is quite true. We can see some people regarded to be liberation heroes of leading revolution against oppressing government when they're young. But later, they became wicked dictators themselves, after having centralized authority for some time. Therefore, to be more accurate, rather than saying power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely, great men are almost always bad men, it should be that power tends to expose our inner corruption, and absolute power exposes our inner corruption absolutely. All men are bad in the core. The Bible said, there's no righteous, no, not one. You may say, Putin should go to hell, not me. But let us see how Jesus said about you and I. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21-22, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Here Jesus relates murder and anger. There are righteous anger, like what Jesus showed in cleansing the temple. But a lot of times our anger is not righteous, but sinful. Are you having sinful anger toward your brothers or others? Do you want to attack them or insult them? Even not in deeds, but also in words. Or not only in deeds or words, but in your heart. Jesus compares and relates murder with anger. Jesus said not only murder is liable to judgment, but also sinful anger too. If it is sinful anger, then judgment. Anger oftentimes comes along with insult and hatred. So Jesus said in verse 22, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. If you are a man of anger, having sinful anger, you are similar to a murderer, liable to judgment. Liable to the hell of fire. You are like the devil. You and I are like the devil. Very likely, the devil is your father. Mankind are created by God in his own image. That means all of us are created to share his character, God's character and glory. God is love. So we are created to love and to be loved. We are not created to hate or to murder. God is truth. So we are created to speak the truth, but not the lie. We are created to love and to be truthful in order to express God's glory, for he is worthy and he is glorious. However, as Paul said of man in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 23, none is righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not only sin of murder, hatred, lies, but also sins of greed, jealousy, sexual lust outside marriage, rebellious, gossip, slander, disobedient to parents, selfishness, pride, and there is an endless list. The Bible said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All are sinners. I have sinned. I am a sinner. Have you sinned? Are you a sinner? Paul also said in Romans chapter 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's why every man and woman has to die physically. Because every man and woman have sinned, and death is the reward of sin. Death is the consequence of sin. But physical death is only the first kind of death you and I one day need to face. After physical death, there is judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he said, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, appointed means no one can escape, appointed, whether you like it or not. And then he continued. And after that one physical death, the last breath we have on earth, after that comes judgment. What judgment the Bible here is referring to? The judgment is the eternal judgment of the last day. This eternal judgment is the judgment before the great white throne. It is described in the Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 to 15. in verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and a lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. The beast in Revelation refers to the Antichrist. And this false prophet refers to the false Christ. And they would be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Here, verse 10 talk about the hell, lake of fire. And then in verse 11, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, continued. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, who is God. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small. That means old men and young children. Who is the oldest one among us? Maybe myself? 60? Who is the youngest one among us? I saw a young girl looking to one another. And someone point out at the back, a very young child. Everyone. Uh, 60 years old like me, I'll be there. Maybe 13, 14 years old, you will be there. Standing before the throne, and books were open. The book I highlighted in red here is plural, meaning more than one book, might be many books, though we don't know how many of them. Then another book I highlighted in blue was open, which is the book of life. Here is a single particular book called the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. So we know that the baby, we know God has different treatment because they haven't done much. These plural books are all recording all the deeds of each individual. Might be one book for a few persons, or one book for each person. But one thing we can be sure, all things you and I do outwardly, including deeds and words, all things inwardly in your secret heart, in my secret heart, are recorded in these books. Many books for many people. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done, which has been recorded in those books. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the hell which verse 10 described earlier. Described earlier that the devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, was thrown into the place where torment will be day and night forever and ever. This is the place where the devil and his children will go. This place is the ultimate reward of sin. This is the place which is separated from God's presence eternally. This is eternal death. This is not man's words. This is God's words, clearly written in the scripture. What is death? Death basically refers to separation, cut off. cease of communication. Physical death means separation from the physical world, cease of communication of the physical world. This is the first death we can see on earth. After a person dies, you and I can't communicate with her or him anymore. No matter how close you are with her or him, or how much you love her. The second death is the eternal death towards the God. Cease of communication with God eternally. This is the hell. How real and definite each man on earth will face physical death one day. How real and definite man will face eternal death one day, unless his name was found written in the book of life. As said in verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Is your name now found written in the book of life? Or do you have the same destiny of the devil and his followers? If you are a sinner without Jesus, your name is not in the book of life, and you will join the devil's that destiny. Do you want the devil to be your father? For those who have not yet to have God, really have God to be your father. Including those they thought they belonged to God, like the Jews. Hope that you can ask him to be your father, the Heavenly Father to be your father. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 12 said, but to all who did receive him, this him refers to Jesus, who believed in his name. Believe in the name of Jesus. What does the name of Jesus Christ mean? The word Jesus literally means Savior. When the angel appeared to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the angel said to Joseph that the betrothed Mary was going to bear a son, and Joseph was to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Therefore, a person received Jesus, receiving Jesus and believing in his name, means that the person believes in Jesus to save her from her sins, or save him from his sins. This person admits that he is a sinner. He hates his sin and wants to turn back from his sins, repent from his sin, and to receive Jesus into his heart to be the Savior of his sin, from his sin. He believes Jesus can forgive and cleanse his sins. On the other hand, the word Christ literally means the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, the prophet prophesied, and the Israelite waited for the anointed Savior King. Therefore, a person receiving Christ and believing in his name means that she believed Jesus to be the Savior King and received Jesus in her life as his king, as her king, being determined to follow him, determined to obey him. This is what I mean by believing in Christ. Are you willing to repent of your sin and believing in Jesus Christ, believing his name, receiving him as a personal Savior and King? If you do, God will give you the right to become a child of God. God can become your real father. When this happens, a child of God is born. You receive a new life from God. Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This new birth in this verse is different from the birth of a baby, from the biological father and mother. So it is not of blood relationship, not of the will of human desire or will of man, but of God. Yes, you can't choose whom to be your biological father. And who is your biological father actually does make a very big impact in your life. But you can't choose. Not only his genes affect you, what kind of man he is also affect you. Whether he's a good father, not a good father, it affects you. But you don't have control, basically. However, you can choose whom to be your ultimate father, your real father. Your ultimate father can make an even much, much bigger impact to your life. Whom do you want to be your ultimate father? Devil or God? God loves you. He is waiting to be your father, to give his fatherly love to you, to give his eternal life from him to you. He desires this so much that he is willing to give his only begotten son to the cross in order to gain you, to have you to be his own child. Someone might say, I don't want to have the devil to be my ultimate father, my source of life, my origin. But I also don't want God to be my ultimate father, my source of life. I don't want to belong to anyone. I only want to belong to myself. I'm my own Lord. I want I, but not others. But actually, you can only have two choices. You can only belong either to the devil or to God. There's no third alternatives, including yourselves. Because the Bible told us very clearly that all have sinned and fall short of God, his glory. Your current own self is a sinful self belonging to sin and devil. Just like the Jews, Jesus talked to them, said in John chapter 8, we just read previously. When you choose to belong to yourself, you are actually choosing to belong to sin and Satan, and effectively choosing the devil's eternal destiny eventually. Therefore, I urge you to let God be your real father, despite whoever biological father you have. The Heavenly Father can save you from sin and his judgment. He can forgive your sin and give you eternal life, deliver you from sin and live an abundant life. We just asked the questions, who is your real father, the devil or God? And we just look at and trying to encourage you to let God be your real father. Now I would like to encourage you, not only have God be your real father, but to pray to God. Learn to pray to your God, your Heavenly Father. The object of prayer, our prayer, is God Himself. The more we know Him, the more we know how to pray, and the more we can enjoy praying. It is because the basis of our prayer is not our own, ourselves, but on God. The basis of our prayer is that God is powerful, so He is able. Nothing is impossible for God, so we can pray. We can pray to God. And the basis of our prayer is that God is faithful. He promised that He is pleased with us praying to Him. God is love. This is the basis of our prayer. God loves His children and desires good things for them. God desires our getting close to Him through prayer. This is our basis, the basis of our prayer. The basis of prayer depends not on how strong we are, physically, mentally, or spiritually. We can go to pray to God whether we are strong or weak. As long as we believe in Him, we can pray to our powerful God. The basis of prayer depends not on how faithful we are to God. Anytime we can go to Him, including when the time we are faithfully living our lives as Christians, or unfaithfully and failing to be a good Christian, we can still go to the Lord, to the Father, to pray. The basis of prayer depends not on how much we love God. Anytime we can pray to God, whether we have much love to Him, we feel, or we feel that we have only very, very little love for Him. In short, the basis of our prayer is not on us, but on God. That's why the more we know God, the more we know how to pray to God. The more we desire and incline to pray to God. I'm going to run through the names of God in the Old Testament. Through these names, we can know God better. I gather 19 names of God. Don't bother about the color. The first is El, Eloah, Elohim, which means God. El Shaddai means God Almighty, all sufficient. Yahweh, Jehovah, means Lord. In English Bibles, it's all capital letter, L-O-R-D. This is the proper name for God in the Old Testament. Translated in English Bible is L-O-R-D. In English alphabet, Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, is the consonant of the Hebrew word. This L-O-R-D in English, or Yahweh in Hebrew Bible, YHWH, is to distinguish from the Adonai, Lord, in the Bible. L, capital letter, and then O-R-D, small letter. So when you read your Bible, L-O-R-D actually refer to Yahweh or Jehovah. L, capital letter, and O-R-D actually refer to Adonai, means Lord. This is another name of God in the Old Testament. I am. This is the name of God mentioned to Moses. I am who I am. Adonai. This is the one we mentioned. In your English Bible, it's capital letter L and then O-R-D, small letter. The reason why Jewish people, they use this Adonai, this word, is to replace the word YHWH, the Hebrew letters. Because for Jews, they thought this is too sacred for them to utter the name of the God Yahweh, YHWH. So they replace it using Adonai, using Lord. Because they find that they are so sinful, God's name is so holy, they dare not to say it out. Yahweh Jireh. The Lord will provide. This name is mentioned when Abraham saw God provided the ram to be sacrificed in place of his son Isaac. The Lord will provide. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. I am Jehovah who heals you. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our black banner. Where banner come up? Yeah. This banner reminded us that the victory of Jewish people, Israel, over the Amalekites. Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, makes holy. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. The name given by Gideon to the altar he builds after the angel of the Lord assured him he would not die as he thought he would after seeing him. Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Rohai. The Lord is my shepherd. Not this one. Yahweh Chikenu. The Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Rohai. The Lord is my shepherd. It is David who pondered his relationship with the Lord as a shepherd, he is his sheep. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Host means army, warfare. The name is expressive of the majesty, power, and authority of God. L.L. Young, God of Most High. This is derived from the Hebrew root for the word go up, ascend. God of Most High. Elroi, God of Seeing. The name ascribed to God by Hagar when she was alone and desperate in the wilderness after being driven out by Sarah. Hagar met the angel of the Lord. She realized that he had seen God himself in appearance through the angel. She also realized that God saw her in her distress and testified that God is the God who lives and sees all. Saw her distress, saw her difficulties. El Olam, everlasting God. El Gibor, mighty God. So when I prepare this to find this name, I've all these 18 names of God in the Old Testament, I find it so wonderful. This is our God. Very wonderful indeed. When we read through them, they strengthen us, they comfort us, and they warm our hearts. If you are a child of God, I hope that this name of God in the Old Testament comfort us, warm our hearts, strengthen us. These are the names which the Jews in Jesus' time are familiar with. However, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, Jesus introduced a very important name of God to his disciples. This name was never used by individual in the Old Testament. This name is... What is this name? This name is Father. all other names of God we just mentioned can be called by others, including angels. Everyone can call God's name. But only this name, Father, can be called by Christians, real Christians, children of God. This is a very special, privileged name only God's much beloved child can use to call him. Last Sunday, Abraham preached a message talking about God is our Father. We are his much beloved child. Only God's much beloved child can use this name to call God. This name, the Old Testament, no one can imagine an individual can call God using this name. The name Father can be used by Israelite people as the father of the whole nation, but not individual. But this is the one we, Christian, can call and pray to. Father is a very special name of God to his much loved individual child. This name speaks of abundance of a Christian spiritual life. J.I. Packer, a contemporary servant, greatly used by God, he passed away 1 to 2 years ago. He once said, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity or Christian faith, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook of life, it means that he does not understand Christianity or Christian faith very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to mere Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for God." May each one of us understand this name of God, Father, deeper and deeper in his or her life, so that we can go deeper and deeper in our prayer to our Father as a child of him, and enjoy the deeper intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Dear Lord Father, we thank you so much for your unimaginable love and plan for us, and your sacrifice for us, so that we can know you and we can become your children. Lord, we pray that among us, we pray that you help us to know you, to know our own sinful condition and pitiful destination if we don't have you to be our Father. Lord, we pray that you help us, every one of us, really have you to be our real Father. We pray that, Lord, you help us to know you deeper so that we can enjoy to pray to you. And to experience the life you give to us to live on earth in an abundant way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.